Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. A warm welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcast. Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Liam Flynn and Paddy Power's Jason Murphy looking ahead to another enthralling week of action in the Premier League. We've got the best bets right across Europe. Further down the EFL for you, all the naps. Hopefully we'll get a good enhanced priced acca from Paddy Power. Before we look at this weekend's games, though, we'd better look back on another intriguing couple of nights in the Champions League. Jason, give us the latest betting from Paddy Power after match week 5.
Yeah, so Man City still well out in front at 11-4. Barcelona 6-1. Liverpool 6-1. PSG 13-2. Bayern Munich 17-2. Juventus 11-1. Real Madrid 14-1. Then you have Tottenham 25s, Atletico Madrid 25s, Ajax 33, and Chelsea 40.
Okay, I think, Mark, you're very much of the opinion that the two big clubs in England hold the key to this, but both had fairly disappointing home draws this midweek. What was your main takeout from what we saw the last couple of nights?
Well, first of all, on that, I mean, Liverpool giving themselves a sort of tricky little last game. I mean, Salzburg have shown that they are a threat. You'd still imagine that Liverpool would win, but it's there was a good opportunity to get the job done. In terms of, I suppose, what we learned or whatever, Jadon Sancho's performance in the second half against Barcelona. He was a substitute. There's obviously a problem there between him and some, you know, either the coaching staff or the hierarchy at Borussia Dortmund. But Sancho's second half performance was outrageous, really, for a team that was really struggling at that point. He scored one goal. Ter Stegen produced an unbelievable save to tip it onto the underside of the bar to stop him from making it 3-2. Even when Dortmund were rubbish last week against Paderborn, he scored one, set up one. Somebody, I assume, if he leaves Dortmund in the summer, somebody's getting an amazing player.
Who's that someone going to be? City?
No, I don't think he'll go back to City. I think that the really interesting one for me would be Chelsea. Now, I know that they've got Callum Hudson-Odoi that they really like on one wing, but I think Sancho's quite a bit ahead of him at the moment. They will have money to spend when it comes to doing that. Willian, who plays on the right wing, is, I suppose, reaching the end of his time as a first team starter. I think he's from the sort of the West London area as well. I don't know if he supports Chelsea, but it would certainly, I suppose, be of interest, I think, to come back to London. That to me would be a good fit. Enterprising team, could be kind of the new Hazard for them, if you like. So it'll be a busy queue, but yeah, I'd quite like to see him at Chelsea.
Liam, what did you learn from Champions League match week 5?
Really, just that I'm still really confident on Paris Saint-Germain with the Champions League this season. I mean, obviously they drew with Real Madrid this week, but I think they showed quite a lot of character to come back into that game. Never an easy place to go. And they've just looked superb. I think up until that point, they hadn't conceded in the Champions League group stage this season. They look far more solid at the back than they have done in recent years, which obviously when they go into the knockout phases, they're sort of infamous for letting leads slip, an aggregate lead slip. But I'm feeling confident about them this year, and I think they can get quite far into the competition.
OK, and Jason, what was your main conclusion?
Just Liverpool have definitely done themselves no favours, but lucky for Liverpool, and I think they're getting a lot of luck this season. The game before the Salzburg match is going to be Bournemouth. I think it's Watford then after that. So, you know, Klopp can still put out a pretty strong 11 and get the job done there. But the main takeaway I would have is Real Madrid at 14-1. They're qualified into the knockout stages. They are second seed, so they are going to have a difficult tie. But with Zidane as manager, you know, they've won 3 European Cups. A lot of those players are still there. Hazard is now settling in. Okay, he got injured the other night, but he's only out for about 10 days. He's really striking up a great partnership with Benzema. You have Varane and Ramos at the back. And totally agree with Liam, and I won't put anyone off back in PSG, but Real Madrid the other night, when the game mattered for the 70 minutes, you know, they absolutely dominated, and it was a terrible mix-up from Courtois and Varane that actually let PSG back into the game at 2-1 when the game was won. For me, Real Madrid, last 16 of a Champions League, you know, they should never be really bigger than 10-1. We're 14s, there are 16s out there. I think, come next February, Zidane could really have them humming. It's starting to come together in La Liga for them as well. So I just think that's too big a price at the moment on Real Madrid.
So Jason, you're saying it's Champions League, La Liga, Copa del Rey in that order for Zidane?
I'm not saying that. obviously La Liga, it's a real tight race this year, and there's a couple of teams. Sevilla could definitely be in the mix. Atletico Madrid, if they can turn these draws into wins. If Barcelona were to get out ahead of them and they're 9 points ahead come February, obviously Zidane's attention turns to the Champions League. But what we're saying is, come February, Real Madrid are in the last 16. No team is going to want to play them. Liverpool might top their group. If they can avoid Man City in the last 16, then I fancy Madrid against Bayern Munich or Juventus. They're bigger prices than Bayern and Juventus in the outright market at the moment, which I don't think it'd be the case. If they were to play in the last 16 in February, I think Real Madrid, you know, maybe slightly odds against. And I think at, like I said, 14-1 for a team that in recent memories has owned that cup with the players and the manager that is there. And like I said, Hazard is starting to show the quality that he is. It's just too big a price for me at the moment.
Jason, it was just a gag, mate, on Gareth Bale. You know, the...
It's like the flag.
Wales golf, Real Madrid in that order.
Yeah, but it was a good answer still. It was a good one, that. Your double act needs a little bit of work, lads. Right then, sack race, because there's about a zillion managers in the Premier League under pressure. So what's the latest on the next manager to go, Jason?
Yeah, so Unai Emery is favoured at 1-2. We've Marco Silva 7-2, Manuel Pellegrini at 10-1, and Nuno at 10-1. He's been back in a bit from 50s. And then we have Sanchez Flores at 12-1 and Solskjaer at 20-1. Really interesting day on Saturday. We've a really good specials team that are very reactive to news, and we always keep this market up on site even when games are in play. So okay, the title race was interesting with Liverpool, you know, going ahead, getting pegged back. But this manager's race, we had three different manager go odds on Saturday. We've Pellegrini in the early game, we had Unai Emery in the 3 o'clock games, and then news broke, although it was false news, that Silva had actually walked when the City game was on Saturday evening. So he went in odds on. So it's a really interesting market now at the moment. Obviously, Pochettino as well. Where is he going to go next? He's still odds on for the Bayern job. He was 4-11. It's now 5-6. Whereas he was 9-2 before United played Sheffield United on Sunday. But come full time, that was into 7-4. It's really interesting. As good as the title race, really, watching this market at the moment.
It certainly is. Liam, make some sense for you. Who do you think will be the first one to go?
Well, as a market, I'd probably go to the market, and I think Emery is probably the closest. Just Silva's obviously been confirmed that he's going to be cleared to be probably in charge this weekend for the game against Leicester. But with Emery, there's some suspicion that he could be gone after the Europa League game. And I just think the problem with Emery, obviously, he hasn't been there that long, but it's less about, I think it's not just a results business now, as it's always been called. I think it is about performances for the bigger clubs, and fans can often turn on a manager if they're not liking the performances. I've tried to stick with him as long as I can, but the performance, I can't remember the last time I watched an Arsenal game and thought they played really well. So obviously that's a concern. I also think he's not too confident of his first team selection. I think as a statistic the other day, since the start of last season, no Premier League manager has made more first half substitutions than Unai Emery. And that's not a good sign. That's more something you'd expect from a club lower down the table, maybe battling relegation rather than a club looking to sort of consolidate on a top six, top four place. So yeah, I think I'd be concerned if I were Unai Emery.
Mark, come January 1, how many of the 20 Premier League clubs will have changed their manager?
I think there might be another three. I think Emery will go pretty soon. I can't see Marco Silva lasting too much longer. I mean, their fixture list is just absolutely horrendous, with a Merseyside derby coming up as well, and you know they've got Chelsea and Manchester United, and I mean Arsenal have got their problems at the moment, but it's still a difficult game on paper. So I actually think that Silva might be the value in that market, because I think this weekend is his last game really, and Emery might just do enough against Norwich. They are odds on to win the game. So if they win, it might be difficult to sack him between now and, say, next week. And that, I don't think Silva's going to last that long. And then I would say either one of Pellegrini, who's doing a really bad job at West Ham, not helped by the goalkeeping situation, but he signed the goalkeeper and he carries on playing Roberto, so it is his fault. And then I also think Kike Sanchez Flores. Watford have got Southampton away this weekend. And if they lose that game, the Pozzos have shown they're absolutely no hanging around from them. If they think they can get somebody else in who will have an impact, they'll do it. So, maybe Pellegrini might just survive because it cost him a lot to get.
They're a little bit more loyal, aren't they, the West Ham owners?
Yeah, I mean, some would say loyal, some would say tight. They don't like paying up the you know, the big compensation figures and then having to go and, you know, get somebody out of contract and then pay them as well. And they may actually feel like he's a good manager, just being dealt a really bad hand with the Fabianski injury. I think it's a bit more than that personally, but they may be able to make that excuse.
Jason, what are your managerial thoughts at this stage?
Yeah, I think I'd be looking at the Marco Silva at the slightly bigger price. I think Pellegrini, I think you'll get a performance, you know, West Ham away to Chelsea at this weekend, and I think that'll see him stay. Unai Emery is the real danger, though, obviously, and that's reflected in the price. And, you know, if they lose to Norwich at the weekend, they don't play until Thursday night against Brighton. That's plenty of time to ship him out and, you know, put someone in, at least for the Brighton game. Whereas I think Marco Silva, he gets to survive at least until midweek for the Merseyside derby. I don't see them changing before then. So for me, probably Silva at the value, just at the bigger price probably at the moment.
Okay, I mean, I can't see how Nuno, I think you said he was 10-1. I mean, he would only go once the Arsenal vacancy comes alive. He's not going to quit before then, so I don't see quite see how it can be him. Okay, that's good stuff. Let's get stuck into the weekend action, and we'll start with the Saturday lunchtime Premier League game. It's at 12:30 at St James's Park, Newcastle versus Man City. It's live on BT. Jason, what are the latest match prices from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so we have Newcastle 14-1. You can get the draw at 13-2, and we've Man City at 1-7.
1-7, Mark. Are you going to be lumping on?
No, not. I mean, yeah, I was going to say not away from home, but I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, that they are 1-7. If Newcastle play like they did against Aston Villa, it will be fully justified. Really, I mean, there's no Aguero, there's no Laporte, so they are, it's not City at the absolute maximum. So, I mean, I would advise people to keep them well out of the Akers. I mean, there's not much to be gained by putting them in and plenty to be lost. You know, they've
As struggled. Someone once said, if you've got the seven, you don't need the one.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's definitely something in that. I mean, I probably about 2-7 is about as low as I tend to go, and preferably at home as well. But I was looking at correct scores, 3-0 and 3-1 as maybe ways to go here. Just a very comfortable victory, but it's really difficult. I mean, they're short prices to be ahead at half-time, full-time. There's not much value in the goals market. I mean, you could maybe back Jesus' first goal, but I just think a couple of correct score dabbles, 3-0 to show their class, and 3-1 if the defence sort of has a dodgy moment, which it is capable of.
What are you going for, Liam?
I'll go Manchester City to win and under 3.5 goals at a shade of odds against. As Mark said, obviously Aguero misses out of a muscular injury in this game. Jesus is a worthy deputy. I think he's obviously the long-term replacement for Aguero, but I think that could hinder City's chances of maybe racking up the goals. I don't think he's quite at that level of Aguero. Newcastle were on a lot of people's radar at the start of the season for relegation, but they've actually had some good results of late, and I think there are worse teams than them in the Premier League, could beat West Ham and Bournemouth, and they've actually performed reasonably well against the bigger sides in the division. I mean, they obviously beat Tottenham, beat Manchester United, and they limited Arsenal and Chelsea to 1-0 wins. So I don't think that City will absolutely run riot in this game by any means. Obviously, City had to dig deep against Chelsea, and I think they're going to have to be doing that every game for the next couple of months because that's the stage of the season we're at. So I think they'll be quite happy with a slender win in this one.
If Jesus gets injured and Aguero's injured, who plays up front?
Sterling.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, what's the bet here?
I think Newcastle, they've had a really difficult start to the season, and I said not to judge them on their first nine games. It's the next run of nine that should be judged. And out of that nine, they've taken 7 points from a possible 12 so far. So it's, you know, it's been decent results recently, but their problem is, you know, the second lowest number of goals scored, only 11 scored this season. They did beat Man City last year 2-1, but the goal scorers were Rondon, who was obviously not there anymore, and Matt Ritchie, who's been a big loss through injury this season. Not only for, you know, the odd goal here and there, but he had 8 assists last season as well. You know, they brought in Andy Carroll. He's only had 7 appearances, but in total, it's only added up to about 109 minutes. Dwight Gayle has been unlucky with injury, but he came back the other night for 20 minutes. Maybe he might start getting them a few goals. I don't see any value in getting with City in anything really, not even the half-time or the full-time market. So for me, I'm going for Kieran Clark at 80-1. It's out there with one other bookmaker. Just first goal score each way. It's definitely worth a punt. City are vulnerable at set pieces, corner kicks. And Kieran Clark, he scored in 2 of his last 3 appearances as well. So for me, 80-1 is definitely just worth a cheeky little punt there.
80-1, first scorer, Kieran Clark. Love that. Okay, let's come back in a minute with the big one. Burnley v Crystal Palace.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Okay, welcome back. Let's spin through the 4 3 p.m. Saturday Premier League games. We'll start with Burnley versus Palace at Turf Moor. Burnley favs, Jason?
Yes, 6-5. The draw 21-10, and Crystal Palace 12-5.
Liam, what's your fancy here?
I'm afraid I'm going Burnley. I think Crystal Palace were unlucky against Liverpool. Arguably deserved a point from that match, but you can't really ignore the recent run of results. And I just think Burnley represent a bit of value at odds against. They've got Ashley Barnes fit and firing now, along Chris Wood. I really like the two of them. Should be high on confidence after successive 3-0 wins. And as we all know, I think they're a better side at Turf Moor, and they should fancy their chances against the Eagles, who've lost 4 of their last 5 games.
All against top 6 sides.
Yeah, well.
Jason?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Like, Palace, their last 5 games, like, it's been tough, and they got the 1 point over it. But I still think Burnley at the prices are the bet here. There's only one draw in the last 8 meetings between these sides. So if we're not getting a draw, you have to pick one. And I'm going to go with Burnley purely because there's more of a goal threat in them. Woods and Barnes have 12 goals between them this season. That's one more than the whole Palace team. So for me, I just think Burnley with that bit of extra firepower are the bet there.
And Mark?
The draw. Burnley have only lost to the Big Six and Leicester this season. Palace, as you mentioned, I mean, it's 1 point in 15, but it's City, Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea, Liverpool. I think we can discount that if they happen at sort of a monthly period. Nobody even batters an eyelid at it. And I think that they're probably quite well suited to nullifying Burnley. And they need to sharpen up at set pieces. Palace have been a little bit disappointing at set pieces, which is not something you really expect. And Burnley are very good at them. But if they can, then I'm assuming that Hodgson would have worked on it. This could be a low scorer.
Okay, next up, Chelsea versus West Ham. Chelsea going to be short here, but I've noticed there's been a little bit of money for West Ham, Jason.
Yeah, Chelsea 1-4, the draw 5-1, and West Ham 9-1. Abraham obviously going off injured last night would be a factor. I think West Ham always put up a good game against Chelsea. In the last 10 meetings, there's only one occasion where there's been more than a goal between the sides, and that was last year when Hazard scored both goals in a 2-0 win. When it comes to adjusting player ratings, so Fabianski got injured, massive player obviously for West Ham. We know that player the season last year. I always make an adjustment for a new player coming in based on a rough estimate of the difference in skills level. And then as that player, that replacement, plays more regular, the adjustment I make is usually less and less. But I'm going the other way with, you know, Roberto Jimenez. It's not even funny. It's that bad you can't laugh at it. It really isn't.
I think I can. Thanks.
Yeah, we shouldn't. It's, you know, for the defenders, like, you want your keeper to come and take ball and all, but he's just taking the West Ham players. He's not even taking the ball. It's really bad to watch. So I would have sided with West Ham if they could pull a keeper out somewhere between now and kickoff, but I don't think there will. David Martin, I don't think, given where he's played in his previous track record, might necessarily be much of an improvement. So all in all, on the back of the Abraham injury last night, if he's not fit, then you'll get about 15-4 on Giroud or Batshuayi, bigger prices than what they should be if they're playing up top in that Chelsea team.
Okay, Fabianski back in training, Mark, but probably not ready for this.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Although, having said that, if you tossed a little sponge ball at him and he caught it, they'd probably say that'll do, you're in.
I'm just wondering how bad David Martin's been in...
he made one of the worst ricks I've seen in many years in the FA Cup last
year. Yeah, I mean, and you tend to... They buy it for a third-choice goalkeeper... They like them to be homegrown, so it doesn't take up one of the quota, which is why Scott Carson's at Man City and Stuart Taylor's made a career out of being that sort of third-choice goalkeeper or whatever. So there's that. But you've still got to sign somebody one day thinking if they do have to play, then they're good enough. So goodness knows what's going on there. Jason mentioned it right at the end, but as soon as Tammy Abraham went off injured, I was thinking Batshuayi, first goal for this game. West Ham's defending has been absolutely atrocious, leaving the goalkeeper aside. I mean, it wasn't only his fault that Newcastle scored 3 and Tottenham scored 3, and they've only had 2 points in their last 21. Chelsea did have a hard game in Valencia on Wednesday, so maybe you can factor that in. But as soon as Abraham went off, I just thought Batshuayi, first goal.
Okay, I've got a little sneaky for West Ham. I actually backed them 10-1 draw no bet at the start of the week. I don't know why. There's no particular science to it, but I just think that they are better than they have been performing.
It's like I expected them to put up more of a show though against Tottenham, and you know, I mean, the 3-2 was massively flattering to them. So I mean, you know, you are, it's blind faith at the moment.
Yeah, well, it was only a throwaway. 700 quid. Liam, what do you fancy here?
I actually like look at Chelsea -1. I mean, they've won 7 successive away matches before that City defeat. They pushed City pretty close in that game as well. Obviously, the Abraham injury is a concern, but I think they've got the players who can make up for that. I just think they'll have a few issues kind of dispatching West Ham. They've just been so bad at the back this season, conceded 3 goals against Newcastle, Burnley and Tottenham last time out.
I'll tell you what, the way they're going, Chelsea, they're in danger of becoming popular, aren't they, with neutrals? I mean, they were that Valencia game was absolutely superb. Did you watch it, Mark?
Yeah, it's my
the best game I've seen this season.
It's my fault for the week, actually, because people have mocked Guardiola for saying winning's not that important. And he's only saying that because, you know, what happened, the fact that Liverpool are likely to win the league. But, I mean, you know, Chelsea won things last season. They're having much more fun. They've got fewer points in the Premier League. They're already out of the League Cup. They've lost every game against the big six that they've played. And yet it's much more fun.
It's
and
brilliant.
They're really happy.
So there's a touch of the Kevin Keegan's about Lampard, and long may it last. I've really, really, honestly, I thought the Valencia game was absolutely superb. OK, Liverpool versus Brighton, another hot favourite, Jace.
Yeah, Liverpool 1-6, draw 11-2, and Brighton 14-1.
Mark, we're back with you. Is there any value in this?
I initially thought Liverpool to win to nil, and then you've seen that they've conceded in just about every home game this season, and I'm a little bit nervous about that. So I was going to go second half to be the highest scoring. We've seen a definite trend at the moment for Liverpool sort of struggling and then picking up as the game goes on. And Brighton, with the way that they keep the ball, may be able to protect themselves early before the, what do they call it, cloppage time, I think is the one at the moment. I suppose Liverpool will probably get the win. But yeah, I thought second half high scoring sort of plays to Liverpool's strengths.
That makes sense, Liam.
As you go in Liverpool double result, I think they did leave it late against Palace last time out. But Anfield, they've tended to start quite strongly this season. They'd established a 2-0 lead after only 13 minutes against Manchester City. It's Graham Potter's first visit to Anfield with Brighton. I think it could be over before it started. Liverpool top of the division's first half table this season, having led 8 of their 13 matches at the break. And I think they should be able to establish a lead before the interval and then hold on in the second half.
Jason, can you give Brighton any hope here?
No, I think the prices are about right. Just because of the way Brighton play, it's obviously different from last season. They've conceded 19 goals already, which is the 8th worst in the league. But on expected goals against, they're actually the 4th worst in the league. They should have conceded 24 goals. I think the likes of these games against Liverpool, we've seen it away against Man United. They just give too many chances away the way they're trying to play now under Potter. Last season, if you took all of Liverpool's and Brighton's games, the average was about 2.7 goals per game. This season, it's about 2.9. And I think the markets are still treating Brighton kind of historically as a Chris Hughton team. So I think we can expect more goals in this game. I think, you know, the Brighton team of last season, I'd actually fancy to go and get a result this weekend. But this Brighton team, I don't. So I'm looking at getting on the goals markets. The best way is probably both teams to score at 8-11. Brighton have scored in 5 of their last 6 games. Liverpool have no clean sheet in their last 11 games now after last night. So I just think both teams to score at 8-11.
Okay, Jason, give us a show on Spurs versus Bournemouth.
Yeah, so we've Tottenham 1-3, we've the draw 4-1, and we've Bournemouth 13-2.
Okay, Liam, I guess that Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs fourfold, or that'll form either an individual acca or the basis of a lot of other more exotic bets. Could you give Spurs any chance of upsetting the apple, or Bournemouth any chance of upsetting the apple cart here?
No, I think Tottenham will be quite safe in this game. I do like worry about Bournemouth against the bigger sides away from home, especially. My best bet in this one would actually be Heung-min Son to score first at 4-1. I think that's a pretty decent price. He's always a fairly solid bet in that market, to be fair. He scored the first goal of Jose Mourinho's reign at Tottenham against West Ham. He had 2 shots, 1 shot on target and laid on an assist against Olympiacos. And I believe Bournemouth's Simon Francis, who's often sort of deployed on the right-hand side of that back three that they like to play, is suspended. So Son will be possibly going up against a weakened right-hand side of the defence. So I think that's probably a good bet.
Jason, what have you done to your Tottenham rating in the wake of Mourinho replacing Pochettino?
Yeah, it's a very good question. When he left Man United last year, we actually improved United's rating. So we were saying Mourinho was a negative influence, and obviously with the way the club was going. And we're saying he's a positive influence this time. We've actually improved Spurs quite significantly. You know, it would have made a big difference to their outright prices. Can't remember exactly off the top of my head, but let's say top four price might have been about 5-1. Mourinho probably brought it into 11-4 just by becoming manager. So he is a positive thing, but it's the new manager bounce. You know, any manager coming into a good club with good players who have just been underperforming, you know, should be seeing a reaction and getting improvement. I haven't been overly convinced by what I've seen. They were good going forward in the first half last week against West Ham, but like we said, we know how bad West Ham have been. And I thought they got very lucky midweek. The goal they got to get back into the game just before halftime, the terrible defensive error, like it should be clear that at the front post, and it's 2-1 at halftime as opposed to 2-0 down. And, you know, the ball boy has a blinder then for the second goal. So, looking at this, all things considered, I think the prices look right, and like Liam, I'd probably be looking towards the goal scorer markets. So any of them, Son, Ali or Mora, I think are good prices in this Mourinho team and the way they seem to be getting forward. So I just went slightly bigger price, Ali at 7-1 for the first goal scorer.
Okay, Mark, will the Tottenham fans be singing Jose's at the Wheel? Is that going to become a song, do you think?
No, it's not. No, I mean, apparently there was minor sort of scuffling going on at the concourse at West Ham when a couple of people tried to do the traditional Jose Mourinho chant.
And like then the Pavarotti one.
Yeah, and then some people tried to do his magic Pochettino, and then I think they just decided they'd just sing Tottenham songs for the time being. It feels slightly uncomfortable at the moment, but I do think the players have got too close to Pochettino. A lot of them have spoken about the fact that, you know, they felt sorry for him and they feel guilty, and I think you saw that in the performances towards the end. They were like, if we lose this game, he's getting the sack. If we don't win, and that was I think playing on their mind. Has definitely freed up in the last couple of games. 7 goals scored. I was thinking Tottenham to win and both teams to score is the way to go. Only 1 clean sheet for Spurs in the Premier League this season. I would also just say watch out for Yan Vertonghen. I think he could be playing left back quite a bit in this Tottenham formation with Ben Davies out for a while. I don't think Danny Rose is going to be Mourinho's main man at that left back slot, and I think he'll do really well there. And one more point on Mourinho. Has anything he said about Manchester United been wrong? Maybe he went about it the wrong way, but I think he nailed just about everything there.
Fair enough. Okay, we've got a tricky one at 5:30. It's on Sky Sports. It's Southampton versus Watford. Jason, what's the latest betting? And then take us through your idea of the best bets.
Yeah, we Southampton 11-10, the draw 12-5, and Watford 5-2. This actually clashes with the Euro 2020 draw, and I'll have more of an eye on that now than I think this particular match. It's a bottom of the table clash.
What's it
going
to do with you?
The bottom of the table clash or the Euro 2020 draw?
Ones are qualified, Jason.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, if England get through, that's if they get through. You know, they're coming to Dublin, I think, for one of the games. So it's going to treat you to a drink, but I'll have to think twice about it now.
Blimey. God. Okay. Now, you'll have one eye on each, won't you, Jason?
Ah, yeah, we will. We'll have plenty of screens here anyways.
Okay, so who wins down at St Mary's?
Well, I'd avoid Southampton. They haven't had a home win yet. Looking at the metrics, it's a little bit screwed for both teams because the board had 2 heavy defeats, 8-0 against Man City for Watford and Southampton 9-0 against Leicester. I can't back the home team here, so I'd avoid the match odds, and I'd just maybe have a look at Danny Ings, 11-2 first goal scorer. He's got 6 goals already. He's not on penalties this season for them, but even still, his XG per 90, it's like about 0.48. That's the exact same as Firmino, and it's actually better than Mane. Mane is about 0.46 of a goal so far this season. So I think Danny Ings at 11-2, if there is going to be a goal, he's as good a bet as anyone for it.
Okay, Mark, have you taken that Southampton rosette off and put it in the bottom of the drawer yet?
I sort of have, in the fact that I think it's really difficult to back them to win this game, given that they've had similar opportunities against a really struggling Everton. Bournemouth don't think are great, and they were absolutely played off the pitch for a large part of that. And yet, when they go away to Man City and play really well, and they go away to Arsenal and batter Arsenal, how they've not managed to win that game. I mean, we'll just be Hasenhüttl just won't be able to believe it. I do think it's a lot easier though to play when you're not expected to win, and you know that's a problem. I think if you're going to back Southampton, but Watford, equally horrendous. I mean, 3-0 home to Burnley is an absolute shocker. I was looking also in the first goal scorer market, but if he starts, Gineppo, who scored a couple of goals already, is a massive threat. I think they missed him when he was injured, and he showed against Arsenal he's a big danger. I think he needs to play because he's a, you know, he's probably the most talented player Southampton have got at the moment. So I'll go for him to score first.
It's a tough one, this, Liam, isn't it?
Yeah, I find it difficult to separate. So for that reason, I'm going to go for a draw. Obviously, it's a massive game at the bottom of the table and possibly viewed more as a must-not-lose than a must-win game at this stage of the season, I think, because you don't really want to start falling away from the rest of the teams. It's still pretty tight down there. These two teams have collected only three league wins between them this season. Watford's biggest issue, as we know, has been a lack of goals. They desperately need sort of Troy Deeney starting and hitting form again. They won the shot count against Burnley, but went on to obviously lose the game 3-0. So that's a concern in terms of what they've got in the final third. I think Southampton have stabilised slightly since the 9-0 loss to Leicester. I mean, they could only really go one way, but I think they have sort of shored up slightly at the back. As we say, they're very good against Arsenal and could have easily won that game. But I think the more cautious approach that they've been adopting since that 9-0 loss points to a stalemate.
Dan Charles, who usually sits in that chair, Watford season ticket holder, he's been really negative about Watford recently. So
you touched on something I want to ask you two about, and that's shots. Because surely if a team's losing 3-0, they're going to be pressing more, they're going to have more shots. That's where you almost need to put a factor on shots when it's level or you're ahead. They've got to be given more value than if you're behind and just desperately buying raffle tickets, as Andy Gray used to
call. Yeah, I mean, game state is I think over the course of a season, over 38 matches, it kind of evens itself out. But this is where people, I think, maybe they pick up on XG being incorrect and they go, well, if you look at this game, you know, they're 2-0 down or 3-0 down. So, of course, they're pushing. And I think you do have to take into consideration game state and also not all goals are equal. So, you know, that sort of one, West Ham, for instance, against Tottenham, those two goals at the end, if you just look at that and say, oh, 3-2, that's probably about right for a team that was odds on to win away from home. But it wasn't a 3-2 game. So I think you have to weigh more importance to the early goals.
Is that what you do, Jason? Do you put game state in as a factor when you're looking at shot stats?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes game state doesn't even come into it as well. It's known the club. Like if you look at Arsenal as a team, their shots, you know, their negative differential for shots to score in against this season. And it's just pure chaos every Arsenal game. Like it's just open-ended. They're so wide open at the back. And I got it wrong. I thought David Luiz would actually, you know, be a good signing for them. But in hindsight, it's like throwing a can of petrol on a bonfire already. Like, you know, it hasn't helped things really. So yeah, it's known the game, how it's panned out, but also known what is going on with the team as well. And like I've always said, it's not one single piece of information tells the full story of the game. But it's getting as much of those pieces as you can to try and get an informed opinion.
Fascinating stuff. Four more Premier League games on Sunday coming up.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post football postcast. Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Liam Flynn and Paddy Powers, Jason Murphy. We're going to look ahead to four Premier League games on Sunday. Right, let's do the two non-televised games first. 2 p.m. on Sunday, Wolves versus Sheffield United. I looked at the prices this week, Jason. I was slightly surprised how short Wolves were. What have you got them at the moment?
With Wolves 10-11, the draw 23-10, and Sheffield United 16-5.
Mark, what do you make of this one?
I actually thought the Wolves were an okay price, really, to win this game. And I know that they have, in theory, struggled to break down sort of counter-attacking, well-organised defensive teams in the past. But they're actually having a really good... It's almost gone unnoticed how well Wolves have done this season, I think. And I was just looking at Sheffield United's away performances, and I started to pick holes in it. When you say Tottenham were in, you know, it was the last bit of Pochettino's reign, and Henderson made an absolutely brilliant save from Lucas Moura right at the end, and he is capable of that. West Ham in a complete mess, draw. Watford, you know, absolute shambles at the moment. They were 2-0 down at Chelsea. They did well to come back. They were 2-0 down, and they nicked a very late equaliser against Bournemouth. So I'm just looking at that and thinking, I really like what Sheffield United are doing, but I think I'd back Wolves sort of 10 to 11 at home to most teams that are not sort of, you know, the established big six, really. I think it looks okay to me.
No,
I think plenty of people will look at the Sheffield United price and think it's too big.
Liam, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I do agree that Wolves have sort of flown under the radar in that top six chase. But I actually like the look of Sheffield United draw double chance in this one. I do like the look of them to get a result. Obviously, don't know what the situation will be with Nuno Santo. I mean, I expect he probably will still be there, but it depends what happens.
Good point, that actually, because if Arsenal don't win on Thursday, then there's every chance that that change will happen. Nuno obviously said, "I'm not talking about it," didn't he? Which might just mean I don't talk about these things, but might also be a little bit of a clue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go.
Well,
I feel like you do actually. I feel like you have got to go. But
what else can he do at Wolves apart from win the Europa League, get into the Champions League, win the title? You know?
Yeah. No, definitely. I just think that's something to bear in mind in this one. But looking at Wolves' recent results, they've been very tight a lot of these games. Edged Villa and Bournemouth by single goal margins. Drew with Southampton, Newcastle, and Arsenal recently. And I've just been so impressed with Sheffield United, as everybody has this season. They're unbeaten in their last six games. The last loss was a 1-0 defeat to Liverpool, obviously courtesy of that Dean Henderson howler in that game. They're in the top six and they're on merit at the moment. I just think Wolves will have to probably be at their absolute best to get a win in this one. So yeah, I'll go for Sheffield United draw double chance.
Okay, Mark says back Wolves. Liam says lay Wolves. Jason says,
yeah, I'll be back in Wolves as well. They're playing obviously Thursday night away in Braga, but they've come through with a clean bill of health. I'll definitely be having a bit of that 10-11. The league table, it's so congested at the moment. Wolves have played 13. They've only won four games and they're fifth. You know, it's so congested, and that's why I won't get bogged down in terms of league positions on any teams yet, because even just two results in those last 13 games going for or against you can make a big difference to where you are on the table, and obviously the narrative that the media tries to push. But Wolves, come the end of the season, I fully expect them to be there 5th, 6th, 7th in the table if Nuno stays and they keep doing what they're doing. Sheffield United really impressed last week against United. Been really impressed all season with them. David McGoldrick, he's brilliant up front. Hopefully he gets to show that the Euros come the summer. But definitely Wolves at 10-11. For me, I think there is actually a bit of value in that price, and I'd be backing it.
Excellent. Okay, they played for both clubs. Klaxon sounds. 4:30, Man United versus Aston Villa. Jason, give us the prices while the boys think of they played for both clubs candidates.
With Man United 4-9, the draw 16-5, Aston Villa 6-1, and Ashley Young is the first one that comes to mind.
Well done.
I thought Jason was going to say Paul McGrath.
Paul McGrath, yeah, absolutely. Anyone else?
Ashley Young was my first one. Yeah.
I have to go back in time a little bit to John Gidman, the fullback, way before your time.
That is.
An Australian. Yeah, Bozzy. Come on, Bozzy on the lanes from Sydney. That's about it. I think I'm struggling.
I'm sure Aston Villa had one of them rubbish fullbacks that Manchester United sort of churned out on a regular basis.
Okay.
You know, like when...
A Fergie
fledgling that didn't make it, and then it takes ages for everyone to realise he's no good, and then he ended up Aston Villa.
Okay, keep thinking. First of all, though, where are we? Liam first, Man United, Villa.
I'd like Man United to win the second half in this game. Obviously, their visit to Bramall Lane was explosive. Three goals between the 72nd and 79th minute.
Dwight York, well done. Yeah.
Sorry. No, that's okay. No worries.
That's part of the rules. You can butt in any time when they play for both clubs.
And I think they could flex their goal-scoring muscles late against Aston Villa as well. Remarkably, 15 of the 20 goals conceded by Dean Smith this term have come between the 46th and 90th minute. I don't know whether that's down to some element of fatigue, whether they're training, psychological block, or if it's just a coincidence. But no Premier League club has conceded more second-half goals than Aston Villa this season. They've led on 8 occasions in the Premier League and only gone on to win 4 of those matches. And I just think of the pace of Rashford and Martial and the way United play, that they could stretch Villa in that second half and at least win the second period.
OK, Jason, is there a bet here?
Quite sweet in Aston Villa and what they've done recently. I think, you know, like I said, they made a lot of signings during the summer, but they're starting to gel. What was really interesting, Dean Smith against Man City and Liverpool, he left Hourihan on the bench and he brought in Nakamba just to be a bit more solid, a bit more defensive in midfield. I'm interested to see which of the two starts now against United, because it will tell us what Dean Smith is thinking going into this game. And where he places an away trip to Old Trafford, is an opportunity to go and get a win, or would he be happy to take the draw? United have only 2 clean sheets in their last 13 games, so I don't see them keeping a clean sheet against Villa. So I'm looking at goal scorers. And if Hourihan does start, like I say, he's got 2 goals this season already, a great goal against Newcastle the other night. He's about 13-2 any time, but likes to just shoot from outside the box. So you'll probably, when the markets are priced up, there might be a bigger price on him. outside the box. De Gea hasn't been great, and you know, was beaten from distance by Moussa there last weekend as well. So Hourihan 13-2 anytime or maybe outside the box would be a nice bigger price.
Jolly good. Mark, what do you like here?
Both teams to score. Villa have scored in 11 of their 13 matches so far, which I think is a really healthy return. They've got a lot of quality in midfield. It's the other areas of the team I'm not massively keen on them. But, you know, United have got issues in that department. It meant that Solskjaer had to pick a really odd team against Sheffield United, sort of rectified his error at half-time. And that includes goals.
In odd, as in it included Phil Jones?
Well, yes. Although, I mean, I feel a little bit sorry for Phil Jones because he hadn't played
105
for,
grand a week.
No, not just. I just mean in terms of the fact that he hasn't. If you haven't played for 5 or 6 months and then you get chucked in against Sheffield United, I mean, you are going to get hustled and bustled out of it in a formation that Manchester United haven't played particularly regularly. When I saw the teams, I wondered if he might have just stuck him in midfield, but he didn't. When the collective doesn't work, it's a bit like David Luiz at Arsenal. When the collective's all wrong, really difficult, I think, for any individual to show up. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel sorry for him earning the money, just the fact that he's the one that gets all of the abuse, really, mainly from Man United fans, I suppose. But Villa have scored against Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham this season. I thought they had a decent go against Man City, as much as you sort of can in that type of game. So both teams to score.
OK, the first of the Sunday live games on Sky Sports is at 2 o'clock. It's Norwich versus Arsenal. Jason, take it away with the show.
Yeah, we've Norwich 3-1, the draw 11-4 and Arsenal 4-5.
What do you like here, Jason?
I thought Norwich were good last week. Zimmerman being back is obviously going to make a massive difference. I think he only played one game against West Ham and maybe even came off injured in that, so it'll be great to get him back in the team. Arsenal, only one win away in the league this season. That was the opener against Newcastle. And it was, Aubameyang got his chance and he took it. They weren't really that convincing in that game. So for me, at the prices, I just think 10-11, Norwich or the draw, double chance is the best value here.
Mark?
I was looking at over 3.5 goals as the way to go in this game. I think if you have a look at sort of Norwich at home, 5 of their 6 have been over 3.5. Arsenal have been sort of more low scoring in their away games this season. But if you have a look, they've had quite a hard fixture list of away matches. And I just go back to that chaotic 2-2 against Watford when there were just so many shots in the game. And I feel like Arsenal are not in a position where they can control matches at the moment. And Norwich had that 3-2 against Man City. They had a really high-scoring defeat against Chelsea. I suspect that they'll really sort of go for Arsenal, which I probably would edge towards them as well in the match markets. But I thought the goal line has jumped up, but I think over 3.5 or just slightly odds against is the way to go.
OK, will it be Emery's Arsenal turning up at Carrow Road or Nuno's Arsenal?
I
wouldn't fancy over 3.5.
I actually gone with the same bet over 3.5 goals in this one. Whether Emery's there or not, this is obviously going to be a game that Arsenal struggle with. Nothing's going to change overnight. They usually struggle in these away games against smaller teams, especially a Norwich team who can only really play one way, play on the front foot all of the time. And their last 4 games at Carrow Road have produced 17 goals. Arsenal without a clean sheet in their last 8 games. Still absolutely calamitous through the centre of the defence. And then I think the 2 fullbacks, I don't know about Bellerin's fitness, but Bellerin and Tierney this season have just taken an age to really get to full fitness and looked and looked sharp. So, just really worried about Arsenal at the moment. I think goals is probably the way to go.
There's the American fullback Lee Hodge, who is now, I think, is he at Forest or whatever? Yeah. He would have been Man United and Aston Villa. And I'm trying to think I feel like there's a surname Kane or something like that. But maybe I've just completely made that one up. But definitely Lee Hodge.
There was someone called Kane who played for Man United.
I don't know, but okay. Certainly Lee Hodge was.
We'll verify that with Wilco, the king of both teams to score when we get.
I was trying to think there of maybe keepers who didn't make it at United, young lads. But then I was thinking Peter Schmeichel did a season at Villa.
Oh,
Schmeichel! Yes, indeed, he did. Yes, 2 goalkeepers. Okay, right then, and finally, we've got the darlings of my bank balance, Leicester City at 4:30 at home to Everton. Can the Fab Foxes keep their run going, Jason? How short are they?
Leicester 8-13, the draw 11-4, and Everton 4-1.
We're with you, Mark.
I think that Leicester probably are justifiably that short. If you're looking for your Sunday acker, I think that they can be put in it. The Brighton performance, I feel like, was one of their best. Well, he didn't grab too many sort of headlines, really. It was just seen as a routine win. But I thought the way that they dealt with Brighton, created chances, which they haven't always done this season, was really very impressive. They've won five in a row in the Premier League, four clean sheets in a row. Johnny Evans, it was only cramp that took him out of that game. Brendan Rodgers, I think it's now five matches in a row where they picked the same team, which I think is maybe, if you're looking at Leicester long term, what happens if they do get a couple of injuries? That front, sort of that 11 at the moment, is well known that they're playing excellent. And Everton, I mean, what an abysmal performance that was against Norwich. They were terrible against Tottenham, really, sort of only picked up a point when after the red card. Played better at Southampton, but maybe it was just Southampton being horrendous. If you do want to juice up the price, and I'm pretty happy just back in Leicester, but the draw half time, Leicester full time, this plays into the two strengths of Leicester are the kings of the second half, collected 31 sort of points if you're just judging it on second half games. Everton have got the worst second half record in the league.
Liam, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, got to be Leicester as well. But to get a bit more value, Leicester to win in under 4.5 goals. These are two clubs in obviously very different positions at the moment. I think Leicester embody everything Everton have been striving to be over the last few seasons. Won five successive matches, and in doing so, they've broken up the Liverpool City duopoly at the top of the table. And as well as scoring regularly, they've been really tight at the back as well. So beat Palace, Brighton and Arsenal to nil. Interestingly, no Premier League side is outperforming XG as much as Leicester. Scored 31 league goals, XG saying only 19. Read into that what you will, but I don't think they're necessarily, with the exception of the 9-0 against Southampton, they're not absolutely blowing teams away in terms of scoreline. They're just winning matches regularly and they've been tight at the back. And as Mark said, I think Leicester do take time to sort of grow into matches, perhaps better in the second half. And for that reason, I think back in low scoring success would be the way to go.
Okay, Jason, will you be a Leicester investor as well?
I still will at that price. There was a drift on them Tuesday night and they've come back in again. I don't know, was there maybe something going on with Marco Silva at Everton, and you know, maybe he's going to be sacked and thought they might get a better performance over Everton. But yeah, at that price, I'd still be back in Leicester. Just to pick up on what Liam says, like, yeah, Leicester is following on from XG, expected points. They've 8 points more than what is expected. And at the start of the season, when we're all tipping up Leicester top four, top six, it's because we know that if Rodgers gets them performing the way they should, that they are capable of this kind of points total. But we also were expecting the likes of United, Arsenal, possibly Chelsea and Spurs not to be as good as what they were in previous seasons. And it was the marriage of the two that was kind of giving the value in Leicester in the top four and top six prices. At the moment, Leicester, you know, Rodgers cannot be getting any more out of that squad than what he's doing, and it's great to see. Whereas Everton on the other side of it, look, they're only 5 points off Wolves. If Everton had another 5 points and were sitting fifth or sixth in that table, again, the fans and the narrative is completely different. But long term, I don't think Silva is the man to sort them out and get them, you know, to be the next Leicester. If you look at the match last Saturday, Iwobi and Moise Keane, the big summer signings, were on the bench. You were still turning to Tosun, Walcott, Schneiderlin after he went to United and came back is still in the starting 11. I know now there's some injuries midfield with Gomez and Delph missing. But I just don't think Silva's the man to turn everything around. But the performances aren't as bad as what the league table would suggest. But all in all, having said all that, I still think at that price, I would back Leicester at 8 to 13. And I'd maybe have a look at Perez at the bigger price. He's 15 to 2 with us. He's 4 goals in 12 games. He's scoring rate. He's in for about one goal every 3 games. So I think he's due another one now this weekend.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps, for all your Premier League wisdom. Just quickly give us one or two others from maybe Europe or the EFL to augment those tips. Mark, what have you got for us?
In Europe, I think sort of looking at a home banker double, hopefully. Inter to beat Spal. Spal are really struggling, and Inter arguably got the best front two in the world at the moment. That Martinez-Lukaku partnership is just as an Shearer Sheringham or Sheringham Cascarino all over again, playing brilliantly together. Bayern 16-0 in their last four matches, really got going under Hansi Flick. In terms of the domestic, I thought Nottingham Forest, I was a little bit concerned about them because they were playing Wednesday and then again on Saturday. I think it's unfair when teams play Tuesday, Saturday in the Championship, but QPR were down to 10 men for a load of times and they won 4-0, so no problem there. Forest Green, even money to beat Carlisle, with 16 points between them this season in the FA Cup. I thought evens at home was definitely worth a bet. I'm slightly concerned because Carlisle got a new manager, Chris Beach, but I mean, he hasn't got any experience, and I'm not sure it's going to be a quick fix there.
Okay, Liam, what have you got for us?
Yeah, one in Europe, Lazio minus one on the handicap against Udinese, shade of odds on. Lazio really reaping the rewards of keeping their manager Simone Inzaghi this season. Won their last five successive games in Serie A. Ciro Immobile, top scorer in Serie A with 15 goals, and Udinese just can't score at all. They've yet to reach double figures in the scoring charts in the league. So that'd be my first one. And then just one in... domestically, Millwall to beat Birmingham at 3-1, I think is a good price. Birmingham not in the greatest form at all. Drew with Sheffield Wednesday midweek, and I just think Millwall look overpriced. Drew with Wigan on Tuesday, but have claimed some really valuable scalps recently, as well as beating Stoke. They've also beaten Charlton and Swansea, and I think they've got some excellent striking options in Matt Smith and Bradshaw.
Would be up for it, that's for
oh
sure.
Yeah, they manage both clubs. Jason, what have you got for us?
Just the one that's worth keeping an eye on. It's the Sunday night game at 8 o'clock. It's Atletico Madrid against Barcelona. It won't be pretty. Barcelona definitely far from their fluent best in the Liga this season, and they were a bit shorter. They're drifting. It's interesting. Last night against Dortmund, what was a must-win game in the Champions League, I think, is the holy grail for Barcelona this season. Griezmann was on the bench. He started with Dembele up top with Suarez and Messi. Now Dembele came off injured after about 24 minutes, which might explain why there's a bit of a drift on Barcelona this morning. But if they keep drifting, you know, I can't have Atletico Madrid as fabs. If you're getting 13-8 on Barcelona or bigger, I'd be backing that on Sunday night. Atletico Madrid, again, a lot of draws, and Morata is just not finishing chances that he should be for them. So I just think Messi up and running, he's flying fit now again. Barcelona 13-8 or bigger, I think, is a good bet with Atletico, where the ball was done, got decent results.
Jolly good. Don't do your Champions League La Liga Copa del Rey joke again.
No, I won't. No.
Right, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Mark Langdon has already mentioned my Nottingham Forest at home to Cardiff. Mark?
I'm going for Oxford in the FA Cup, away to Walsall. Walsall 22nd in League 2 at the moment. Oxford absolutely flying. Unbeaten in 15. In the last 8 league games, they've scored 24 goals. Last 2 games, they've scored 4 in each. They've got a lot of attacking quality. We're slightly concerned, wondering where the FA Cup was on their priorities. But against Hayes and Yedding in the first round, sort of all the big hitters were there, or certainly most of them, sort of like some Matty Taylor and James Henry. So I'll back Cole Robinson's team again.
Liam, which Belarusian second division team have caught your eye this week?
Just the Bundesliga this week. Schalke to beat Union Berlin on the Friday. Just Union Berlin have been far stronger at home than away. I think they've only won one away match this season. I think they could struggle in Gelsenkirchen. The Royal Blues unbeaten in their last 5 assignments. Just winning 3, holding Borussia Dortmund to a draw in the Revier Derby. And then they conceded late to draw with Fortuna Düsseldorf, arguably deserved to win that game. So Schalke to beat Union Berlin.
And Jace the Ace.
Real Sociedad at home to Eibar. It's one of the more shorter prices than what I normally put up for that, but 8-11, look, if it's value, it's value. Sociedad, they're 6th in the table. They could be a bit higher. 23 points is a great return. Eibar lost their best player, Joan Jordan, to Sevilla in the summer, and they're a hard-working, high-pressing team. But Sociedad, with the likes of Odegaard in midfield, or yards of ball, Porto running out wide, I think he'll pick off that press. And just 8-11 at home to Eibar, who aren't as great away as they are at home. I just think Sociedad is a great bet this weekend.
Okay, so it's Forest, Oxford, Schalke and Sociedad. And Jason, you'll be boosting that fourfold, won't you, on the Paddy Power site?
Yeah, I think we've 3 out of the last 4 winners. And the one that didn't win, I think QPR were one leg to let us down. Or conceded a goal in the last 10 minutes. So we should really be 4 but from 4. It's an unbelievable run. I do keep a record of the tips. Emmett O'Keefe there, he's 4 from 4. Anytime he's on the show, that man seems to give a banker. But hopefully I will keep the run going, and we'll definitely enhance it again this week.
Really unlucky, that QPR one as well. I think it was was it Jonathan that put up QPR? They were 2-1 up and then underhit back pass that Sombalonga picked up. So could have been 4 from 4.
You're keeping the Naps records, are you, Jason?
Yeah, I'm just waiting until I'm top of the table before I share it, but it could be a while, yeah.
Okay, jolly good. Right then, so apart from the Premier League and the European and the EFL action this weekend, as Jason touched on earlier, we've got the Euro 2020 draw on Saturday. I guess we'll have to wait until the One Show or Blue Peter or something on Monday for the FA Cup third round draw, but that's always exciting.
It is, yeah.
And we've got a full midweek Premier League game with a difference next week because they're all on Amazon Prime. What do you think that will do for turnover, Jason?
Premier League is pretty big anyways, and you know there's a lot of savvy people out there that, you know, if you're placing your bets on the mobile, you're fairly familiar with streaming and how to get around and watch it.
What, so I love bugger about, all in other words, yeah.
I'd imagine we'd still be okay, yeah. Whatever is the biggest game on the night will take the most volume, as in terms of teams, it might necessarily be televised on Sky or BT. But what I do love about this, and I may double check now that Amazon have it, but I'm sure BBC still have highlights, and it's the only opportunity in the season now where you get to watch Match of the Day old school, as in watching the games, not knowing the results, because they're all Wednesday night games. So you only have to go 2 or 3 hours without checking the score lines, and you can sit down for Match of the Day at 10:30. And like I said, watch it old school. Whereas you can't do that on a Saturday anymore. It's just not possible.
You say that. My mate Dom does it every single week. From 3 o'clock, he turns his phone off. He doesn't care. He's with his family, so he's not interested in emergencies or anything like that. And he watches it blind every week. But what he says is that you actually kind of have a clue because of the running order now as well, you know. And so that, you know, if you've got Southampton Palace last up, you know it's not going to be 7-4. So slightly spoils it. But I did it once last season. I thought it was great fun. Mark, are you going to be delving into Amazon Prime or?
Well, yeah, I think the shrewdest way around it might be to sign up for the free trial, get all your Christmas shopping done and pick up Man United, Spurs and Liverpool v Everton on the Wednesday.
And then get all the Boxing Day stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I think that's the way to... I think that's the shrewdest choice.
Come on then, Amazon. You don't pay any tax. You can pay us for that, all right? We've got you a load of new sign-ups there. Okay, chaps, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. We've got the Racing Postcast tomorrow, golf on Wednesday, and we're back next Thursday for another Racing Post Football Postcast.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.